All right, now, folks, we mentioned this in the last hour, and hopefully you know this, but I really do think some folks are oblivious to this, that every time you jump on a computer and do web surfing or Googling or whatever, or you get on your smartphone and you do the same stuff and you buy stuff and you go to some websites, and every time you're online, data about you is being collected and saved somewhere. All right. There's a whole digital dossier about you on some computer server someplace. And personally, that drives me a little nuts. It's one reason where, I mean, there's a Facebook page out there with my name on it. I never go there because I figure Mark Zuckerberg has enough information on me. I don't need to give him more. All right. So I'm not a Facebook person. I'm just not. All right. I don't do that. But this information and data gathering is happening 24/7, all the time, every time you're on. And then the question becomes, well, A, where is this data? B, what are people doing with it? C, what could they do with it? And so when I saw a recent thing from Consumer Reports magazine, I thought, oh, we got to dig into this. Because in this particular case, we'll get into this in a bit, this is Pennsylvania specific. This is us. All right. And so we want to welcome to our program Maggie Oates from Consumer Reports magazine. And first off, Maggie, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Good morning. Excited to be here and talk about my favorite topic.
This is your favorite topic, okay. I was going to say, first off, a transparency alert, all right, and we'll talk about Consumer Reports in a moment. This is Scott. I've been a Consumer Reports subscriber for years because, Maggie, I love the information I get, although last evening I got some blurb about the 9 best robotic vacuum cleaners, so I figure that's what we're going to start with today, all right. Do you know the 9 best robotic vacuum cleaners?
You know what? I don't actually. I must have missed that one. Please enlighten me on the 9 best robotic vacuum cleaners.
Well, you got to read Consumer Reports, and then you can find out about the 9 best robotic vacuum cleaners. No, we're not doing that. All right, let's start from scratch if we could, Maggie. If you would, tell us something about yourself. Maybe where are you? What do you do for Consumer Reports? I know you have some specialties. Tell us something about you, please.
Sure. As you said, my name is Maggie Oates. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers.
And go Steelers. All right. I like Maggie already. That's good. Okay. Keep going,
Maggie.
We just
need Russell Wilson to steer the ship. Yeah, don't make mistakes.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, Maggie.
I've been working at Consumer Reports for the last 3 years on their policy team. So we are the team that not only reports on different products, but also we go out and talk to legislators and make sure the laws out there being passed are actually in the spirit and protection of consumers. And my background is in computer science. So that was my first major. I used to be a big nerd, and now I'm a different kind of nerd.
Oh, that's a good description. All right, there
I
we
like
go.
It.
Now, I'm going to assume, Maggie, most people have heard of Consumer Reports, all right? I'm pretty famous, been around for many, many decades. But maybe for folks that somehow, like, I've never heard of that, can you briefly describe what is your organization? It's a nonprofit. I mean, tell us about Consumer Reports.
Yeah, that's right. Consumer Reports is over 100 years old. It's a nonprofit that was founded to give fair and impartial reporting on products and to push laws and practices with businesses and with states and with the government that protect consumers. So we've done stuff that varies from getting seat belts in cars to, most recently, we had stories about how much lead is in your Lunchables. So we'll really do anything if it protects consumers.
Yeah, folks. All right. The Ironhead is shaking his head.
I don't want to know.
You've got a 9-year-old, right? And those Lunchables that you get at the grocery store, the cute little package and all the food's right in there. Mm-hmm. What's in the food? Mm. All right. I'm sorry, Mr. Ironhead. You might want to check this stuff out. All right. Did you say lead, Maggie?
That's what she said.
That's right. I know it sounds like something from like 1940, but in fact, a lot of foods still have small amounts of lead in them because there's no federally accepted limitations on how much lead is in food. just kind of crazy.
I'm trying to think. You folks had a story, I don't know if it was earlier this year, maybe it was last year, about lead in chocolate. That is something, and then some other outlets I think started to pick up on that story, that there are some high amounts of lead in various kinds of chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh man, I like chocolate. It's like, oh man, are you kidding me? The Ironhead is holding his head in his hands. You got to get Consumer Reports,
this
buddy.
This stuff just it crushes me.
I mean, Maggie, I really value the work that you folks do. When I get my Consumer Reports magazine, folks, there's not one ad in the whole magazine because they're a nonprofit. No ads. And I don't know. I kind of like that. All right. But we'll leave that there.
No centerfolds either.
No, no centerfolds.
Not the record show. I just want to make sure
not
we're
that
clear.
Kind of centerfold, at least. No. Now, Maggie, I think you heard my description that I made a few minutes ago. That every time we're online, it's data somehow is being gathered about each one of us, and then it goes somewhere, and it either sits or people can do with it. Was I accurate on that description, or did I overblow that? What do you think?
No, I think you are completely accurate. You use the phrase that I like, digital dossier, that I think is really good. You are correct. Anytime you go online, anytime you use the Wi-Fi in your own house, anytime you carry your phone into a store that has Bluetooth monitors in it, all of those are places where little bits of data are being collected and cataloged about you. And I would say one thing is that there's no one central digital dossier. There's hundreds of companies, many of whom you will never know the names of, that collect and store data about consumers to resell it, to improve advertising, and also sometimes to do more pernicious things than that.
All right, now, Maggie, I guess I'm still a little confused. What data? I mean, the description you just gave, if I was in a store and they have Bluetooth in the store, or if I go to some place and I jump on their public Wi-Fi or something like that, I mean, what data is being somehow gathered? I mean, it's not like I pull out my credit card all the time and I put it in there. What kind of data are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's a really good point. It is not your credit card, thankfully. There are, thankfully, legal protections against that one specifically. But for an example of the kinds of data, so every single phone and device in the world that connects to the internet has an address called an IP address, and that is sort of like your home address on your street. It's so the internet, the routers, the satellites know how to send information to your phone, to the correct phone, and so that little IP address is usually pretty stationary, and it's something that pretty uniquely identifies you, and that's an example of the kind of thing that many places are collecting. So if they start seeing the same IP address visiting phishing websites and visiting the Steelers websites, somewhere out there, a marketing company is collecting these pieces of information to say, oh, this person loves sports and they love the outdoors. We're going to sell them all the sports and outdoors stuff.
I think I've seen stories where essentially, folks, you can be tracked everywhere you go if you've got a smartphone on. That if somebody wanted to know all the different places that Jeff went this week, somehow that information is out there. Now, Maggie, is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I think that's technically true. Some of the new laws we're seeing do have protections about tracking people's location closely. But that aside, yes, definitely your telephone company knows where you are at all times. In order to give you cell service, it has to know where your phone is. And there are a little bit of protections against that being shared, but it is true that it's pretty easy to piece together people's locations.
Now, what, Maggie, what could companies do with this information? I mean, is it just sitting someplace and maybe somebody could access it? Or do companies all the time actively use this information for something? Which one of those is right?
It's really a mix there. So there's a couple of things that we're worried about in having these large stores of data just sitting around. I mean, one is that it can be used for almost anything. And that's something that I'm a little scared about personally. an example of things that have happened are collecting sensitive data on people, such as people who are looking for mental health services or LGBTQ mental health services, and then using that information to sell them other products and services. Other things that can happen are the data doesn't get used, and it's just sitting there useless in a warehouse ready to be hacked and leak, which is also something we don't want. So we want companies to be able to collect the data they need to do stuff like build spam filters, serve reasonable advertisements, but we want that data to be data that they actually need and data that is being used respectfully and appropriately.
How difficult, with the hacking, because it seems like we see seemingly just about every day some, you know, this has been hacked. There's some obviously more significant, more problematic than others. But there's obviously, I mean, all of these companies are hiring other companies and experts to try to keep up to date on it. And, you know, some of these, like hospitals, are trying to make sure their records are as secure as they can, but I guess the hackers are just, it seems like they're always, at least some of them, are always a step ahead. I guess just, can you talk about that, I guess, ongoing battle that, you know, folks have with cybersecurity, because it just, it seems like a never-ending fight right now.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's absolutely a cat-and-mouse game in this context, where there's thousands of really, really smart people working on security. And for the most part, our security is good enough that, you know, we can be comfortable going online and doing online shopping and be comfortable going to the doctor's office and sharing our information. And particularly with health information, there's lots of good legal protection regarding those. But yeah, at the end of the day, that's why I think it is so important that companies think really hard about what data they do have. Because if they don't have the data, it can't get hacked.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this preventative measure of, if we can't always win against the hackers, let's at least, you know, take our medicine and only get the data we need and delete it once we're done with it.
See, I think I'm in a fortunate position. I keep getting my identity stolen and people keep giving it back. I'm like, never mind, yeah, dude. Really? Here, you go ahead.
What a lucky
we don't
guy
want
you
this
are.
Life.
I mean, the one that drives me nuts, Maggie, is, and it's happened to all of us. I know it has. You go online and you're buying something. I don't know. I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. All right, I need a pair of shoes. So I go to a website and either buy a pair of shoes or check out shoes and so on. Then later I open up, you know, that night, next day, next week, just some other website, and all of a sudden these ads for shoes start popping up everywhere. I mean, Maggie, this does happen to everybody, right? Not just me, correct? Yes?
Yeah, you are so right. It happens to everybody. This kind of advertising is called retargeted advertising. I personally like to call them the creepy ads.
Yes.
Those are ads. They're also called cross-contextual advertisements because they're crossing different contexts. So you don't expect to see the shoes from one website on another website at the end of the day.
Is there some
specific kind of advertisement that consumers hate, that we also hate at Consumer Reports, and that we would love to see this practice crackdown on?
Maggie, is there some time limit? Like, I'm going to see ads for shoes for a week or a month, and then it goes away, or does it just always stick around?
That's totally up to the marketing companies involved. It's a really complicated ecosystem where a website, let's say your local newspaper, will put a spot for an advertisement on their page, and they'll hand it off to the marketing company and say, let everybody bid on this spot. So basically the spot will be auctioned off to different companies. So depending on how much a given company thinks you will buy those shoes eventually, that ad could stick around indefinitely until they think it's not worth the money anymore.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I mean, folks, hopefully we haven't freaked you out yet, but stay tuned. We got more, okay? We're talking with Maggie Oates from Consumer Reports. When we come back, we're going to talk about Talkin' Harrisburg involving privacy, you know, data privacy concerns. There's a House bill floating around out there that Maggie and company, I guess, really don't like. And we're going to talk about that. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Here's the K2 Roots Vitality Foxcast. Plenty of sunshine today, though it will be dimmed a bit because of smoke from wildfires that are way far away from us. But hey, they get in the upper airflow, and guess what? Dims the sun. High 72. Mainly clear and comfortable tonight, low 45 to 50.
This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP. For customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards, PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Even the best athletes go through slumps and need professional support to get back on track. If you're going through some tough times, Autumn Spring Counseling is ready to help you get a game plan for success. Check out our website at autumnspring.co or call 814-826-3737 and sign Counselor Joshua Kirby to your team to help face the challenges of anxiety, depression, grief, and loss. That's autumnspring.co, autumnspring.co.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP. For customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards, PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Talking Penn State, Pittsburgh, and even sneaking in a little Philly sports because I can. It's Late Lunch on 98.7 The Fox with me, your host, Chris Buccinati. Live, local, and lots of fun. Join in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Central Pennsylvania's Sports Authority.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The best tacos around? If you don't know, they're from Carter's Table in downtown State College. Owner Sean Carter has been around the world and brings different culinary experiences to his delicious tacos, quesadillas, rice bowls, and more. Asian, Cajun, Mexican, brisket. Make Carter's Table at 407 East Beaver Avenue a regular stop and great for a tailgate. Dine in or takeout, open Tuesday through Saturday 11 to 7 in Ambassador Square next to DP Dough and Sours Harvest Cafe.
Glenn O. Hawbaker, a family-owned company, is currently hiring. They are looking for triaxle drivers, mechanics, carpenters, operators, laborers, and much more. Glenn O. Hawbaker has an excellent benefits package with day one medical benefits, PTO, and 401k for all full-time employees. To apply and see what other positions are open, go to gohcareers.com. That's gohcareers.com. Glenn O. Hawbaker is an equal opportunity employer.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Wednesday. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment this morning.
All that data out there, floating out there, all about you. Like
all
shoes.
That lead floating around out there.
And shoes and lead in Lunchables and stuff like that. But anyway, we're talking with Maggie Oates from Consumer Reports Magazine about privacy protections and maybe lack thereof when it comes to your data floating around the ether or wherever it's going. All right. Now, Maggie, first off, we appreciate your patience. We had Maggie scheduled many weeks ago before we entered our technological adventure over the summer. I first reached out to you, Maggie, when I saw this, I think it was late June, about I came across a 6-page letter that you folks wrote, Consumer Reports, to I guess this was our Pennsylvania State Senate Communications and Technology Committee, big long term, about a bill in our state house in Harrisburg that allegedly should address privacy concerns, but you folks didn't like it. So let's start from scratch. What happened a couple of months ago that spurred you folks to do all this stuff?
So me and my colleague Matt Schwartz are often tasked with following what's happening in all 50 states and sometimes internationally with regards to laws and protections around privacy security in this country. And as a Pennsylvanian, a Pittsburgher myself, I was really excited to see that Pennsylvania around a year ago now started considering a privacy bill in our state. And as you said, unfortunately, we sat down to read it, and it's not very exciting, the bill itself. It's fine, is how I would describe it. Our position on the bill is that we would be willing to support it with a couple different amendments. We know it's like this is bipartisan work, and it's really hard to get things perfect, but we want to see meaningful protections.
All right, so this is House Bill 1201. Now, here's where I'm a little confused, Maggie. Has this passed the House? This is they passed it?
So, yeah. So this bill was introduced many, many months ago. It made it through a House committee. It got sent to the Senate Committee on Communications and Tech, and it made it out of that and got sent back. So the last time it saw action was back in July. It is currently stuck in a Senate committee still, and you never know what's going to happen in the legislature, but it seems unlikely that this bill will pass this session.
Okay, so in other words, nothing's been passed. This is in committees, all right?
That's right.
So folks, if you're not familiar, all right, if you're a state legislator, you've got a great idea, you come up with a bill. First, the bill goes to a committee and has to get out of the committee in order to eventually get a vote. So we're still in committee situations. Okay, so what's the problem with this House bill? I mean, you know, why don't you guys like it? I mean, what's objectionable in this thing?
Well, I want to start out by saying that it has some good stuff. It has some good stuff in it. It gives some really important rights to consumers. For example, right now in Pennsylvania, if a company has your data, there's no way for you to get a copy of it, even to just see what they have and to make decisions from there. So this bill, for example, will give you what's called the right to access your data. And that's what you can do. You can walk up to the big, nasty data broker, the marketing company, and say, hey, I want to see everything you have on me. And then from there, you can say, hey, I would like to delete everything you have on me. And those are really important rights that, at minimum, we want to see in every bill that comes through our state.
Now,
you're right. Go ahead.
Are there penalties then that would be assessed, like if somebody is caught doing this? I mean, it's one thing to say, all right, you shouldn't do this. What would be the ramifications? Are there ramifications if somebody is caught after you say, I don't want this, don't keep this, and hey, this person is keeping this? What happens to that person? Like, what's the risk reward from the folks that would be collecting the data here?
So you're asking what are the penalties if a business does not follow this law?
Correct. If they're caught not following it.
Yeah, so if a business is not respecting the law, this is one of the problems we have with the bill, actually. Right now, in Pennsylvania, the way it's written, is that pretty much the attorney general, so that's like the chief lawyer in our state, is responsible for going after businesses. One thing we don't like about this bill is that we would love to see a law where consumers can actually sue companies themselves for bad behavior. And the legal term for this is private right of action. So I have a private right as a consumer. It's my right as an individual to take action against a business that is not obeying my data rights.
All right, maybe sort of a follow-up there, Maggie. All right, we have people listening here, and they're probably thinking, well, it's just me. I can't go up against some big, giant, maybe multinational corporation that has my information. I'm powerless. There's absolutely nothing I can do going up against a company. I mean, right now, is that kind of accurate, that a single person just, there's nothing they can do? They're screwed, if you will. You know, they got my info. I can't do anything about it. Is that right or wrong?
I don't think that's exactly right, but I think it might be half right. I mean, you're right that as individuals, we don't actually have a lot of legal ability. Most of us don't have the monetary ability to bring forth a big lawsuit against the country, or excuse me, against a company on this topic. But it is true that individual people can do a lot to protect themselves and their family on this topic. But at the end of the day, yeah, at Consumer Reports, one of the reasons we exist is that we think that we need collective power. Two people are better than one, 200 people are better than two, and millions of people is going to get the most done at the end of the day. So that is why organizations like us exist, to help the individual consumers pack together and make a big punch.
Now, you said just a couple minutes ago, again, this bill is in sort of committees and so on. You really don't think this is going to pass, which I guess you like, because you don't like this particular bill. I mean, why do you think it won't pass?
Well, I want to say that I would actually love to see this bill pass with some amendments. It's not uncommon for a bill to get, this is the first time it's been introduced in Pennsylvania, and it's not uncommon for this to happen, right? The first session is usually not the winning session for a bill. Why it won't pass, there's a lot of factors at play here. One is just that legislators are busy. They have a lot of other competing priorities, and there might be other more important things on the docket for them this season. Another is that we're seeing repeatedly is actually that there is a large lobby founded by some of the biggest tech companies that is working against these bills to weaken them. And we saw this most recently in Vermont. Vermont was a state that put some really unique, strong protections for consumers in their bill. We were really excited to see it pass. It passed both houses, made it all the way to the governor, and in the final hour, the governor vetoed the bill.
Wow.
And we think this is likely due to having someone in his ear whispering that the big tech companies, many of whom are large employers in the states, don't want to see this pass.
Now, This is a state thing, all right? We're in Pennsylvania. You mentioned Vermont. Are all 50 states, I guess, individually somehow trying to tackle this issue? Can you give us some examples of other states where maybe this has come up?
Sure. Yeah, so first of all, I want to say that our favorite thing would be that there is a federal, national bill with strong protections that protects all Americans, so we don't have to go state by state doing this work. But for now, it looks like that is not politically going to happen anytime soon. So that is why we have a whole team working on each individual state. So California was the first state in the U.S. to add privacy protections. You know them. They love to write laws. And something like, I'm going to get this number wrong, but something like 13 states just this year passed privacy bills. So that's like unheard of. This is a hot spot for this topic, this time period, this like chunk of 5 years, we're going to see a bunch of states pass new legislation. So this is a really important thing to be thinking about.
I mean, you mentioned earlier or a moment ago, you know, lawmakers busy, lots of bills, lots of laws and stuff. I guess it would be simple to say, well, hey, let's see what California did. Hey, let's take that as a template and we'll make that Pennsylvania's law. Is that the way that works? Or do these folks actually just individually come up with this stuff?
Yeah, you're kind of right there. So, I mean, first of all, let me say California has some really strong pieces to it, but I would not suggest anyone use California as their starting point for a bill. But you're correct that most states, you know, are saying, like, why do we want to reinvent the wheel? And we'll base their work off of previous bills. So actually, right now on my team, we are writing our own model legislation that we're hoping to send to states, and we're calling it Connecticut Plus, because we're hoping to base it off of Connecticut's, you know, sort of weak but okay bill and make it really strong. And an important reason to do this is that it also makes it easier for businesses to follow all the laws if the laws are similar to each other. And that is something we want. You know, we don't want businesses to spend crazy amounts of money figuring out the details of laws.
Maybe you touched on it there with the Connecticut, but is there a state that has passed the law or laws where you're like, yeah, that's what we need, that's what we'd like to see in every state, or are the 13 that have passed all a step in the right direction, but you feel like need some additional adjustments?
Definitely none of them are perfect. California has some really strong stuff, and they are still amending this bill to this day, getting updates on it, which is great. Maryland just passed a bill this year, and it also has some unique protections. But yeah, none of them get it perfectly right or as strong as we'd like to see. An example of something that we're not seeing in these bills that we really, really want is the basically banning more things. Like, we would love to see a topic called data minimization. So this is kind of what I was referring to earlier of, we only want businesses to collect and use data for the things we actually need. And that is language that we're not seeing in any states, because a lot of the companies hate it. They want to be able to use your data for whatever they want. They want to make new products with it. They want to sell it to their next business. And so we're having a really hard time getting this passed, but we're optimistic that next session we're going to see some stronger protections on this topic.
Maggie, is any of this information, data, whatever, going overseas? And yeah, I'm thinking China. Now, granted, there are Chinese companies that sell cheap stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it seems like so many things are still manufactured in China and then get over here somehow. I mean, this isn't just an American thing, is it? There are other companies elsewhere around the planet that somehow get their hands on information about me or Jeff or us. Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, I think it's accurate to say that data can end up anywhere in the world. The countries with the strongest data protections are mainly in Europe. And, I mean, Europeans are saying the same thing about us, right? They're like, we don't want our data in the hands of the American companies, of Facebook. Some of the biggest baddies live here in the U.S. in terms of the biggest companies with the largest data stores who are doing some of the most questionable practices, let's say. There are some federal protections about transmitting data overseas, but they're pretty limited. But the answer is yes. When a piece of data goes out in the world, it's safe to assume that it could end up anywhere on Earth.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes left here, Maggie. All the folks who are listening, that maybe, again, hopefully we haven't freaked them out, but I bet somebody has. What can regular people do anything with this? I mean, write a letter, call somebody, I mean, anything. What would advice be for somebody who's like, hey, I don't like any of this, I want my voice to be heard? What can they do? Can they do anything?
Yes, they can absolutely do everything. I was going to say that, wow, this has been a real depressing interview, hasn't it? But not all hope is lost, I promise. There's two things I want to bring forward to anyone listening. One is that there are steps you can take to protect yourself. We have a tool called Permission Slip that you can download on the App Store that helps you check which data brokers and companies might have your data and send them requests to delete it or to stop selling it. So that's a tool available to everyone. It works way better for people in states that have laws already, But it is available to everyone and can help you get started sort of cleaning up the data trail, the mess that we've left behind on the internet over the years. And that is called permission slip. And then the second thing I want to press is that, yes, you can be writing a letter. So your own state representative might be the person that introduces the strong bill that changes the lives of millions of people in your state. So definitely send that letter. Show up to their, you know, kickoff meeting and talk to the ear of their sponsor saying, this is something that's really important to me. I want to have more control over my data. I don't trust big tech companies. And time and time again, we hear that legislators love to hear from actual people and what they actually care about. So it really does have an impact.
Now, again, folks, nothing's been passed. All right. This is a bill. It's House Bill 1201. So it hasn't passed the House yet. It's still in what's called a committee. Now, Maggie, again, I mentioned you folks wrote a 6-page letter, pretty detailed, that you sent to a state Senate committee. State Senate Communications and Technology Committee. So that House bill is now being discussed over in the state Senate committee. Do I have that right?
That's right.
Okay. So nothing's gotten out of committee level. So we've got two for our neighborhood, Maggie. We have two state senators. And ironically, we had one on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
And we have the other one on the show tomorrow. How's that for timing?
Amazing.
You know, state representative, just contact them to say, and if you want to refer to something, it's House Bill 1201. To say, hey, I don't want these companies playing around with my data. You know, watch all that sort of stuff. So, okay. Maggie, I tell you what, we really appreciate your time today. I tell you what, you've got my email address. If you get kind of like updates and so on, I'd love to get a note because I figure you'll find out before we do. So can we do that?
Will do. Thanks for having me, and thanks for giving Consumer Reports the chance to, again, talk about stuff that's important to us and all our members.
That's terrific. We thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you.